Here.
And for the record, Councilmember Springer is traveling this evening, and Councilmember Watson is ill.
And going on to item number four, people to be heard. Our first person is Don Black. Please state your name and spell your name, please.
Don Black, D-O-N-B-L-A-C-K. Dear Honorable Mayor Barr, City Council members, members of the administration, and members of the public, I wish to speak in opposition of the uncompetitive sale of Lot 4, Block 15, United States Survey 3230 A and B of the Bethel Recording District, 4th Judicial District, State of Alaska, the parcel of land between the former Sammy's Market and the Longhouse Hotel. If any individual organization or organizations permitted to purchase this land without a competitive bid, it should be Bethel Boys LLC, the owner of the Longhouse Hotel. Bethel Boys LLC, DBA Longhouse Hotel, has two direct interests in this land. One, part of our structure encroaches upon this land and is subject to ownership of, in this part, piece of land is subject to ownership of the Longhouse Hotel under adverse possession laws. An adverse possession exists when a structure encroaches onto a parcel of land owned by another entity for a term greater than 7 years when the other entity is aware of this encroachment and does nothing to correct it. Although I do not know the exact date that that part of the longhouse structure began encroaching onto this parcel of land, a signed statement from Shtim Dima on April 4, 2019 confirms that this encroachment existed at least as far back as 2008. Not only did this encroachment exist, but the owner of the property, the City of Bethel, received sales tax payments from the restaurant and subsequent restaurants using this encroachment extension of the hotel. Before any sale can be considered, this legal issue needs to be resolved. Two, the City of Bethel has adopted State of Alaska fire codes. The state codes are adopted from the International Fire Code of 2012. 503.2 specifications under the Fire Code of 2012, fire apparatus access roads shall be installed and arranged in accordance with Section 503.2.1 through 503.2.8. 503.2.1, dimensions. Fire apparatus access roads shall have an obstructed width of not less than 20 feet, 6,096 millimeters, exclusive of shoulders except for approved security gates in accordance with Section 503.6, and an unobstructed vertical clearance of not less than 13 feet, 6 inches, 4,115 millimeters. This local, state, and international code makes Bethel Boys LLC DBA, the Longhouse Hotel, a more logical direct sale entity than Cusco Cush. However, even given the hotel's legal standing, ownership still believes that this sale, as well as any sale, should follow the bidding process as already established by the City of Bethel. When Mr. Naeem Shabani and Mr. Jared Carr signed the agreements to lease this disputed land on April 23, 2019, the agreement clearly stated on Section 4.06, Observance of Laws, tenant at all times during the lease term at its own expense and with all due diligence shall observe and comply with all state and federal laws, municipal ordinances, rules, and regulations which are now in effect or may later be adopted by any government agency and which may be applicable to the lease premises or any improvement on it or any use of it, and shall promptly furnish such evidence of compliance with such laws, ordinances, rules, and regulations as landlord may request from time to time. Nothing has changed with the agreement. The tenants entered into this agreement with the sale of marijuana not being permitted of their own volition. As attorneys, they're aware of the contract to which they were agreeing. Once again, nothing has changed. I see no standing for a non-competitive sale to be offered to any entity, including Bethel Boys LLC, DBA, the Longhouse Hotel. Thank you.
Thanks, Don. Next up is Leif Albertson. Coming up, sir.
Thanks, Leif Albertson, A-L-B-E-R-T-S-O-N. I'm going to be speaking on the same topic, hearing stories on the radio and some of the things I've said in council, I wanted to just give a little bit of background or history on that from my perspective when I was involved in it. So when that lease was signed, it did have provisions in it that you couldn't do anything that was federally illegal, basically. So that's how it was signed. And there's been sort of an implication, well, the city knew what the plan was. And I just wanted to say for myself, as someone who voted on that lease, I did not know what the plan was. In fact, I was actually my understanding at the time was that it was going to be a building with multiple storefronts, and then those storefronts would be leased, and so it would be almost sort of like a mini mall or a strip mall. As somebody voting on the lease, I don't need to know exactly what it's for, but I did see the lease, and I did have a kind of an understanding of sort of what the plan was, and everything, you know, that all made sense. And so that was the agreement that council agreed to, and that was the agreement that the people who entered into it agreed to. And so I just wanted to, I guess, kind of clarify that, you know, if there's an idea that, well, the city knew what was going to happen there. Speaking for my part of the city, I did not know. Council did not know, and council did not agree to that. So some things had changed after that, but that 10-year lease was signed with those understandings in mind. So, I guess I would just encourage council to be very careful moving forward on this. When we sell land, we don't get it back, right? And so that has been the strategy of council for many years, is to be very cautious about losing land. When we own land, that is something that we can lease, something that we have a lot of flexibility to do with. When we sell it, we don't get it back. There's a dearth of land in town. And so I would throw that out there. And if there is I guess I'd proceed cautiously on that. There have been some sort of things said that I don't necessarily agree with in terms of who knew what when or who was allowed to agree to what when. From council's perspective, what we agreed to was pretty straightforward, and it would have precluded the use of that site for its present intent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. And next up is Mr. Green, Wilson Green. State your name, spell your name, please.
My name is Wilson Green, W-I-L-S-O-N, Green like the caller, G-R-E-E-N. I am the Senior Service Director for ONC, and I brought in a letter earlier today hoping that you guys would all get it. I think Mr. Bill Howell needs a copy. I really want to meet with Alicia Larry. Apparently she was appointed as the elder council, or I'm not really sure what, but I want to get to work with you eventually down the road, because your committee will be involving the clients that I serve with ONC on home delivery program. The petition that you see before you, I brought up in the last city council meeting, inquiring about a convection oven that is in the possession of the city of Bethel. Apparently there was a potential lease of that old senior center on Second Road Housing, and my predecessor did not follow through with the requirements to continue on with that proposal to lease the building, and eventually lost possession of or ownership of the property. And I do hope that sometime soon you guys would put it in your agenda to for items of discussion for ONC Senior Services to reacquire at least a convection oven. I think there's two of them in that building. And that's all I'm here for. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Are there any other members of the public that would like to address council and people to be heard? Seeing no one else, we will close down people to be heard. And item number five, approval and of consent agenda and regular agenda. Entertain a motion. Moved by Alyssa Leary, Councilman Leary.
I second that.
Second by Ms. Franco. Thank you. Discussion.
I have a question. That includes 10.2, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I did have a question about that. I didn't see anywhere where that formula was to determine the price for a 6-yard dumpster. I saw the 4-yard price, and I believe it was the 8-yard.
Ms. Hansen, are you wanting to remove that from the consent agenda item for further discussion?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I would move to remove introduction of ordinance 1922, amending chapter 13.16.150 of the Bethel Municipal Code to establish a rate for 6-yard dumpsters.
Yes, ma'am. So that's taken off the consent agenda. And any other items? Seeing and hearing none. All those in favor of the consent and regular agenda indicate by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. We have an agenda. So, reports of standing committees. So the approval of item number 6, approval of meeting minutes 6.1, 6.2, 6.3, 6.4 has been passed through the consent agenda. Reports of standing committees is item number 7. And we have two reports. One is the Finance Committee, and the other is the Public Safety and Transportation Commission. I'm sorry. Are there any members of the committees that would like to make a report?
Thank you. So the Finance Committee, we have a new Assistant Finance Director, Ken Fay. He was introduced at our previous meeting, and we just received updates from the finance department. There has been a lot of turnover, but it seems since our last meeting, they hired some new employees, which is great. Our next meeting is still being scheduled, but I believe it'll be that first Monday in December. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. And is there anybody from the Public Safety and Transportation Commission? Who is our representative on that commission?
Marcus,
okay.
They were expecting no quorum for their meeting.
Okay. Okay, so hearing no other reports from other commissions or committees, I'm sorry. Let's start with Michelle.
Okay, so I just came over tonight from the Parks Rec Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee. They started meeting at 6 p.m., so I was only able to attend for 15 or 20 minutes this evening. They were currently hearing a report from Stacy Reardon, the facility director, on membership fees and revenue cycles. And I wanted to mention that this Friday, the 5-year anniversary of the facility opening is being celebrated. So from 5:30 to 8:30 at the YK Fitness Center, there is free admission and more snacks, raffles, etc. So this Friday, 5:30 to 8:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. So let's go with, let me look over here, the Planning Commission.
Yes, so the last meeting that they had was on October 10th, and we were having a special meeting at that time, and so I wasn't able to attend. But the next one is this Thursday, November 14th, and so I will be attending that meeting to represent council. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. The Public Works Committee.
Yeah, so we haven't had a meeting since the last month, but our next meeting is November 20th. next week at 5:30, and we do have, so I was a member of that committee, so, and we already had a couple of openings, I think, so anyone is interested in public works, we have openings.
Thank you, Councilwoman Leary. And for the CAG grant, or the Community Action Grant, I know that we haven't had a quarterly meeting in a while. I don't know when the next one is scheduled, but I do know that they do meet quarterly, and I have no idea when that date is. So, thanks everyone for those reports. Item number 8, special order of business. 8.1, item 8.1, proclaiming November 30th as Small Business Saturday and encouraging residents to buy local. Let me just give that a quick read. Okay, the City of Bethel proclamation proclaiming November 30th, 2019 as Small Business Saturday and encouraging residents to buy local. Whereas the City of Bethel is focused on supporting the success and strength of our local economy and encouraging the efforts of our local independent business owners. Whereas buying local positively impacts communities by keeping local communities unique, keeping more money local, promoting a stronger local economy, support community needs as local businesses are invested in the community, and buying local helps encourage entrepreneurship. Whereas, according to the United States Small Business Administration, there are 30.7 million small businesses in the United States. They represent 99.7% of all firms with paid employees in the United States and are responsible for 64.9% of new jobs created from 2000 to 2018. Whereas small businesses employ 47.3% of the employees in the private sector in the United States. Whereas the City of Bethel supports our local businesses that create jobs, boost our local economy, preserve our community's culture, encourage our residents to buy local, and support the Saturday after Thanksgiving as Small Business Saturday. Now, therefore, I, Perry Barr, Mayor of the City of Bethel, proclaim November 30th, 2019 as Small Business Saturday and urge the residents of our community and communities across the country to support small businesses and merchants on Small Business Saturday and throughout the year. Lori Strickler helped a lot with that, so I appreciate all the work you've done on that, Lori. So, item number 9, unfinished business, public hearing of budget ordinance 19-11H, amending the City of Bethel fiscal year 2020 budget. Sandra Box, acting city manager, Howell. And we'll open up for public hearing. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak on this budget ordinance 19-11? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing. So, is there a motion to adopt ordinance 19-11?
So moved.
So moved by Councilwoman DeWitt.
Second.
Second by Ms. Leary. Thank you. Discussion. hearing or seeing no one on the council to that wish to discuss this, all those in favor of passing ordinance 19-11H indicate by saying, what? Do a roll call. Let's do a roll call.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Franco.
Yes.
Mayor Barr.
Yes.
Councilmember DeWitt.
Yes.
Public hearing of budget ordinance 19-11I, amending the City of Bethel but FY 2020 budget, legal services, and HR risk manager. So we'll open it up for public comment. There's no members of the public that are here to comment on budget ordinance 19-11-I or I. The public hearing is now closed, and we'll do a roll call vote on. I'm sorry. Boy, I'm really on a roll here. So I would entertain a motion to adopt 19-11-I.
So moved.
So moved by Councilwoman Leary. Do I have a second?
I have a question about this one.
Second motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, so there's a second by Councilwoman Hansen, and we're now open for discussion.
Oh, so my question was, it looks like these two are attached to each other. Maybe that was the case last time. We have the city attorney moving money into the, to be appropriated to cover the cost of legal services. And then if we go down a little bit, we also have combining the risk manager position with the human resources manager. So are we going to leave those tied together? Do we want to discuss those separately? Or that's just kind of my thinking looking at it.
Mr. Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council Member Hansen, it's the budget mods are presented in that manner where they're together just as a part of internal policy so that we don't exhaust all the letters in the alphabet in a year, hopefully. So you have 19, you know, K, J, H, I, you know, and so we try to put as many of these mods together on one sheet. They do stand alone. You can discuss them separately, modify them separately. You do not have to take all of it. You could take none of it or some of it. It's council's discretion, in my opinion, on that. I don't think anybody, barring some disagreement from the clerk, I think that's how it is. Thank you. I was just checking.
Mayor Barr, can I add something to this?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
So, from my perspective, I don't have any questions about the legal reallocation. But the HR manager reallocation, I personally had some concerns with, mostly around strategy, not around the amount or the workload, but looking, so two things. One is a process question to me, and what I'm curious about the processes within the city of, at what point do we tie additional duties to a description and then seek to increase the compensation for that position? And then second, if it's in the best interest of the city moving forward to not have a dedicated risk manager, even if it's part-time or if it's contracted, housed in finance. So those are my two issues or two questions.
I'll address the second question first because I got a little mixed in the shuffle there. So you'd asked about whether or not we would assign it into finance. And I agree with that assessment, and that is probably optimally where the risk manager position could be as you know, kind of the concept is stopping financial losses ultimately. So that is an option. I think that within admin is a good position as well, because the two employees that admin has are the grant manager and the HR director, because the HR function is a part of the city manager's authorities. And so I think that having risk management tied into the administration is a good idea, because it gives it the weight of the administration if there's a concern that needs to be addressed and authority needs to be brought behind it. So that's why I'm supportive of what the former city manager had done, which is positioning the risk manager in the administration. And so I like that positioning right now. And just kind of to speak to a broader point that I think will kind of maybe address the first question you asked, and you can hit me with it again, but it's the concept that, I'm not going to disagree with you that this isn't the best solution. The best solution is that we had another $150,000 in our budget, $200,000, that we could simply create this position with. I think it is a position that needs to be full-time in the city. What I've done here is try to strike a compromise with the fact that I don't have those resources at my disposal. I have an individual in that position that brings the type of experience we need there and is a good fit. We've had several months of dealing with some of the risk management duties along with their human resources duties. It appears to be working. Is this the perfect situation? No. But is it a good situation that I think is workable for us and helps to improve things right now? I think it is. And for the amount of money we're putting at this, it's a really good value, I think, for the city. Did I answer your question, Michelle? You could come back at me with that, because I was
you did
on the first part.
But I guess I'm trying to think about this from a systems perspective versus an individual perspective. So right now we have an individual who's capable of and interested in processing risk claims, which is fantastic, and we're lucky. But moving forward from a sort of systems perspective, are we going to find another individual who wants to work in the field of human resources and also the field of risk? So that's when I look at this. At first, this was like an obvious solution, because it fixes a problem that you have as a manager. But then when I reflected on it, I'm like, is this the best strategically for the city? And so that's why I have these questions.
We did consider that in the process. So right now the picture that you're looking at is that those duties and responsibilities kind of get randomly assigned out to different department heads. And so those duties are currently ongoing, but they're not centralized. And so, for instance, as the fire chief, I managed the city's hearing conservation program for many years. I wrote the hearing conservation policy. It was really difficult for me to get other departments to show up to their hearing testing and other things like that, because I have no authority over them. Or as the fire chief had no authority over Public Works or the police department or anything like that. And so once again, we're trying to consolidate some of these really critical safety issues under administration so that there's more authority behind them when there's a direction given. Also, you know, my recent experience in the short 7 months I've been acting as manager is when we'd ask, you know, who's in charge of claims, everybody would start looking around the table, and generally someone would volunteer to investigate it if it was something that happened in or around their department. I think that APEI's, our insurance company's, complaint to that effect was that you're bleeding money because you're not doing a good job investigating claims. And then into your final observation, you know, are we going to find somebody else to fill this position again? Who knows? Maybe, sure. You know, or the but we have the ability to change that job description and not have to run that back to council. If in fact we can't get that that position filled in that manner, so and then we'd have to figure out something at that point. Like I said, this isn't a perfect solution, but it's a decent solution given the resources that we currently have, people in the position, the amount of money we have. It's a good solution for now to midterm, and depending on how long this person will stay, or whether or not we get more funding in the future so we can start staffing some of these positions that I think the city needs. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Then I have a question. So I didn't see in here how many claims are being brought forward per year or per quarter or however that's broken down.
I could defer to the HR, or right in the last few months, we've done, you know, a half a dozen or so. When we presented this, I think there was three that we'd processed in the short amount of time that this had been assigned into that position. But, you know, my experience and what I've seen over the years is there's many, you know, upwards of 10, 20 a year that are anywhere from, you know, $500 to $10,000. It really varies quite a bit. So I do get a report from API on this. And so, if you guys want some hard numbers on that, it's something I could get over a period of a day or so. But it's enough to justify a full-time position, much less, you know, a position that's doing this, you know, a quarter or a half of their time. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask another question?
Yes, please.
Can you refresh my memory? Was the part-time position advertised? So the funds that are being potentially reallocated to the current full-time position to take these tasks on, did the city advertise for a part-time hire, for a dedicated position for risk?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember DeWitt, no, we did not advertise any part-time work because I didn't think that for $12,000 we'd be able to do anything with that or give anybody a reasonable compensation. You know, there's... I think it'd be somewhat improbable, although anything could happen, that you'd find somebody who's a professional in this field who's maybe retired who would do it or something like that, but I think that's wishful thinking. So no, there was no effort even to advertise.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask another question?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess what I was trying to get at with my question, too, is are there enough claims to justify having a full-time position in the future, or are there so few that it could be handled by someone in-house, or so few that maybe it could be something done by somebody outside? You know what I mean? So if there aren't enough claims to justify a full position of this in the future with, say, a lot more money, came down the line, then is it something that would be small enough that could just be handled by somebody else?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilwoman Hansen, I think that there's enough work in this position to justify a full-time position, yes. Because remember, they're not just managing claims alone. They're managing safety programs for the city, safety and compliance programs. So that could definitely be a full-time job. A lot of that, once again, is being handled by department heads. This position, as we have it set up right now, would kind of facilitate facilitate with the department heads things like vaccinations and bloodborne pathogens and hearing conservation and a lot of the other things we have to maintain our compliance with. So sure, I mean, we could keep someone busy 40 hours a week doing this work, not a problem. And we did have a position at Public Works in the past that was dedicated to this. That being said, I don't have a budget for that position. And so in the meantime, until we have that windfall we're hoping for or whatever, or reallocate funds around the city and positions, like I said, this is a good solution and one that I'm hoping you'll all support. So thank you.
I just have a comment. So I initially had a lot of questions about this. I went and talked to Bill a couple of different times. And I had similar questions about, you know, is this a normal set of skills that we find together, HR and risk management? And even if it's not, if passing this or, you know, if going ahead with this would increase the retention time of our current, current staff, I think that's a huge positive. That retention's a big thing that our acting city manager is working on. It's something I think is very important. Continual turnover is just contributes to chaos. But even in having a central location, you know, a central person to handle all of the various risk management activities, I think would also help with alleviating some of that stress from our department heads that are all kind of absolutely not experts in risk management. Maybe some of them are more than they thought they would be in the past. As time has gone on, they've probably picked up a lot. I did have a lot of hesitations about this, but you know, and I agree with Bill that it's not the absolute best solution, but it is a solution. It is, you know, a step. I think it's a step in the right direction to take care of some of these things that we're not, you know, everyone would kind of point at each other in who handles claims or who handles anything with risk management. So I initially did have some hesitations with this, but in discussions with our acting city manager, he was able to answer some of my questions. So that's all.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Ms. DeWitt.
One final question. Our HR manager, I read the report, and we have significant open positions within the city. And these tasks in this position are incredibly important for this city and thus the community. Is there time within this position to absorb the duties of risk, given the significant challenges we have recruiting and retaining employees within the city? And that's not a judgment on this employer. That's a employer-wide challenge.
I thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember DeWitt. I believe there is. There's only so many applications trickling in. We are proactive. We're working with the job service. We're working with Ute, and we're reaching out to the schools with intern programs. So there's a number of things we're doing. And I think that we've been fairly successful in staffing pretty quickly when we do have critical vacancies. We had recently had the finance department and kind of rocked back on their heels by a couple key positions moving out, and we were able to staff that up within the week that those positions were vacated. So we're, I feel like, I feel like we're turning the corner on a lot of our, outside of CDLs, I feel like we're turning the corner on our employment issues. I mean, the police department is nearly fully staffed, minus a police chief. Finance is down one position right now. We're waiting for one to start soon, but they've accepted an offer. Administration, well, you know, besides, I guess, our executive position. So I feel like this is something they can do. I think that this position of risk management, I think it lends itself nicely and complements the human resources position. Because the HR director is checking those boxes when they come in, making sure they have bloodborne pathogen training, they have vaccination. So this is something they're already kind of looking at. We also are able to leverage a lot of technology for our training. So it's not like this risk manager has to go and teach a bloodborne pathogens class. They can just assign it to them on our target solutions that we got from API, and they've got online courses. And so they are going to have to work efficiently as they have been. They've been handling these duties for the last 3 to 4 months, perhaps longer with some of the other stuff they got wrangled into before this concept came up. I think they'll be able to do it, and I'm confident that we'll be able to kind of improve HR and improve our risk and our claims going forward. Once again, we don't have a singular person working on this and watching over it. Councilmember Hansen brought up the concept of, you know, doing it outside, contracting it. It's really tough to send somebody up, you know, from Anchorage or whatever to investigate a sewer and water issue, you know, and that's something we're intimately familiar with. They can work through these things pretty quickly. So I think it's going to be a good fit. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, what's the process for voting on these as separate budget items?
That's a really good question. Lori?
So as with a motion to amend another ordinance, you could make a motion to strike out certain language within the ordinance. So these are broken out by I-1 and I-2. If you were in favor of one and not the other, you could strike one, or you could make a motion to strike language and insert new language. So for instance, under I-1, if you wanted to adjust the dollar amount that was indicated in the ordinance, you would strike what's listed there and insert the new dollar amount. So they can be pieced out by I-1 and I-2 or amended by making motions to strike and insert. Does that answer your question?
It does. I need my brain minute to catch up with all the words that you just said.
Ultimately, striking language and inserting language are the terms that you would use.
Are we ready to entertain the motion, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember DeWitt. Yes, we are.
I would make a motion to adopt Ordinance 1911, Item I-1, but strike I-2.
There's a motion on the floor to adopt Ordinance 19-11, Item I-1, and striking 19-11, Item I-2. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Any further discussion? As the maker of the motion, Ms. DeWitt?
I want to express that I support our acting city manager in identifying solutions for problems such as this. And I appreciate the spirit of this and support the spirit of this, but I think in the interest of the systems of the city, we'd be better off making at least one attempt to hire a part-time dedicated hire or look at a contract to be our dedicated risk manager and allow our human resources manager to fully focus on human resources.
Ms. Hansen?
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, you know, maybe even if we wanted to house risk manager within the city, maybe looking at other departments that might fit better into the job description. And I don't know exactly what that would be, if that would be the city attorney or who it would be, but something about this, it's like pushing together these two positions in, you know, an already seemingly very busy position of human resources manager in a city with a lot of turnover. And so I would be interested in exploring that or what Councilmember DeWitt has mentioned. Thanks.